What would it cost for the U.S. to help Syrian rebels?
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson, and we'll start in Syria, where rebel forces are battling with the government for control of the economic hub of Aleppo. It's being called a must-win area for the Assad regime if that regime is to maintain control of the country. Now, at crucial moments like this in the Libyan conflict, there was assistance for the rebels from the U.S. and NATO in both money and materials. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman looks now at how a similar intervention in Syria might price out.
The highest cost scenario might be called the Iraq option. Ken Pollack of the Saban Center for Middle East Policy at the Brookings Institution says that's the U.S. going in more or less alone to crush Assad.
200,000 to 300,000 American troops, and would probably cost, at least in its first years, $200 to $300 billion.
The Libya option costs a fraction of that, but a U.S.-European air campaign might not work given Syria's military strength. And with the euro in crisis, there's little appetite for expensive military adventures. Plus, Pollack says, Syria lacks one thing Libya and Iraq both have: oil.
Syria may be a humanitarian tragedy, but it doesn't engage American vital interests, in large part because it is not connected to the oil.
The Gulf states do see Syria as vital, so they may ramp up funding of the rebellion. Pollack says they bankrolled the first Gulf War, saving U.S. taxpayers a lot of money. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
The latest economic data out of China show a continued slowdown there. New numbers on factory output and retail sales came in below expectations this morning, and we've got the BBC's Juliana Liu with us from Hong Kong with the latest. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what is new exactly in today's numbers?
Well, I think investors and China watchers globally were looking to see if there were any signs of an economic rebound. And they didn't really get signs of that. Industrial production actually fell. They were supposed to have risen. Retail sales also fell from the previous period. So really, the only good news came from inflation. Prices were lower, which is good for the Chinese consumer. But otherwise, the good news that a lot of people were looking for didn't show up.
Now, before the Chinese government was hoping for growth, they were trying to slow down the economy. So do they think that they went too far down that road?
It looks like it may have already gone that way. You know, China is an enormous country with a lot of regional variation. But one economist based in Tsinghua University, Patrick Shavanik, says that in some areas he thinks that growth for the whole year might only be 4 to 5%, that in fact these official numbers don't actually reflect the extent of the slowdown. I think the picture's clearer if you look at corporate earnings. For example, Cathay Pacific, based here in Hong Kong, the world's biggest carrier of air cargo, they made a massive loss in the first 6 months of the year. So I think the worry right now is that definitely, as you say, the slowdown might have been overdone.
The BBC's Juliana Liu in Hong Kong. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning. Frankfurt is down 0.25% right now. Hong Kong up 1%. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow inched up 7 points to close at 13,175.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
Some of the biggest players in the defense industry say they may have to issue mass layoff notices if Congress doesn't stop us from going over the so-called fiscal cliff in January. That's when tax cuts expire and automatic across-the-board spending cuts, including at the Pentagon, are set to go into effect. So what does the fiscal cliff mean for you? That's the subject of our Money Matters segment this morning, and we're joined by Patty Hirsch, who is the senior producer of personal finance at Marketplace. Hi, Patty.
Hi, Jeremy.
So, you know, we've talked about the possible effects of the fiscal cliff on the economy. If Congress does not do anything about it, what kind of an effect is it going to have on individuals?
Well, it's going to have a big duplicate effect on individuals, firstly, because you have all of the cuts that are going to spill through to government programs. So a lot of people are going to be laid off. But at the same time, you're also going to see an effect on your paycheck because of these immediate tax hikes that are going to kick in because of the removal of some of these tax breaks.
And you're talking about the Bush tax cuts, which have been in effect for a long time. So what exactly would happen with taxes for people?
Well, we've heard a lot about the effect on the rich, but what we should really focus on is the effect on the median American household. So, you know, the average family pays about 10% of income up to $17,000 right now, and 15% of all income between $17,000 and $69,000. But those rates are going to jump. For that first level up to $17,000, it would go up to 15%. For that next level up to $69,000, it's going to go up to 28%. So you're going to see an immediate effect on your paycheck.
And what about deductions, Patty?
Well, you know, not everybody pays the full tax rate, right? So every family gets deductions that whittle away at the tax burden.
Right.
But a lot of those deductions are going to disappear on January 1st. The child tax credit, you know, which used to give a family a $1,000 tax deduction each year, will be cut in half. The payroll tax holiday, which was this 2% Social Security tax cut on the first $110,000 in wages, that's going to disappear too. What about low-income families, which people are very concerned about as well? The loss of the earned income tax credit, that would disappear. That would be a problem for them. The tax credits that go for people who have children would also disappear.
And as we said, this is a big what if. I mean, we don't know exactly what's going to happen with all of this stuff. So what are people supposed to do while they wait and see what Congress does?
Well, the thing to do is to get smart. I mean, a lot of people are really intimidated by the whole idea of a fiscal cliff, and people aren't really getting as smart as they need to. You need to read up on this stuff. You can listen to Marketplace Money this weekend. We've got a story about it. Talk to your tax preparer and make sure that they're getting smart about this stuff too. If you don't have a tax preparer, consider getting one because this next tax year could be very complicated.
Patty Hirsch, who is the senior producer of personal finance at Marketplace, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And finally, some new figures from the Brewers Association show these are frothy times for the beer industry. The total number of U.S. breweries in June was 2,126, which is the most since the year 1887. Beer sales, on the other hand, are up just 1% this year. And according to the Denver Post, that growth is due mostly to the fact that this is a leap year, which means there was one extra day for beer drinking. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.